Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 142 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin with our thoughts on Godzilla vs. Kong, and then discuss the cast of new Kenobi show, Netflix buys Knives Out, and then we'll jump over into some tech news with Facebook data breach, a huge loss of Bitcoin, and some space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we're here with episode 142, and I watched a movie. I got to watch a movie when it first came out. Thank you, HBO Max, and still living off of my 1 month of HBO Max I was willing to pay for the Snyder Cut.
So this is a twofer. You didn't have to resub for this one.
No. This is a two for one deal. I am not going to re. Although I can't remember what else is coming out next month in HBO Max, but they might get me to stick around. I don't know.
It's not like they have like a dozen award winning TV shows that you've never seen or anything.
I'll get to those eventually. Yeah, we can give our quick, mostly spoiler-free talk here on
Like I said, if you haven't watched it, it's been a week. By the time this airs, it's been a solid 7 days. It's been in the theaters. It's on TV. If you haven't watched it by now, you just really don't care. And I don't care.
I mean, and you might not care that much. The truth is, I didn't really care that much about the MonsterVerse movies. This one I just felt like watching, so I did. But I can't even remember if I watched. I definitely didn't watch the last Godzilla movie.
You didn't watch King of the Monsters?
No, I did not.
How did you ever find your way through the plot of this movie without watching King of the Monsters?
I literally had to watch a YouTube video before watching this movie because I was like, I'm not going to go back and watch Kong Skull Island, which I don't remember. I'm not going to go. So I went and watched a 15-minute recap of what you need to know before you watch this movie.
You got a 7-year-old son. How are you not just sitting down watching monster movies with this dude?
My kids are no better than me. They hate watching movies. They do not sit down and watch movies. That is not something that they do. So, now, here we are.
So my initial thoughts, I liked Godzilla King of the Monsters more just because it was, I guess, more action-packed, more variety. The storyline, I find, was more interesting, you know, with the discovering of all the monsters and this bad science team and all that. They did a better job of telling a story between the action to kind of like just keep you chugging along with the movie in the first one than they did the second one. This one,
okay,
yeah. I wasn't really interested in all the subplots.
The human beings?
Yeah.
Like, I really felt the whole time, like, if you're not going to give the human beings an actual meaningful part of the movie, just leave them out. Just go monsters only. That was really the big part. I 100% agreed without even seeing, you know, King of the Monsters, just watching this one. I thought that the whole time. I was like, what is the point of ever showing these humans on the screen?
And that's kind of how I felt too. The first one wasn't like that though. The first one wasn't much better, but at least you were just like, anytime a human was on the TV, you weren't like, all right, let's go. The one thing I did appreciate about all the human scenes is like when they had to get Kong on the boat to go to Antarctica, like you didn't get 15 minutes of them like trying to shoot this dude up with tranquilizers and load him on a boat. He's just on the boat. Like they save you that half hour of the movie of like the logistics of getting a skyscraper sized monkey onto an oil tanker. Like I appreciate the fact that they didn't waste a bunch of time and they just kind of assumed that the audience was smart enough to just like, however he got on the boat in your head, that's how it happened. Like, that's just how it happened. I guess.
I actually kind of had a problem with it.
Were you sitting there going like, how'd they get the monkey on the boat?
Like, I kind of was. Mostly because, like,
that's information I don't need, man.
What I needed is, I needed to see Kong just like willingly go walk onto the boat. Because otherwise, if you're telling me, you know, this whole time that they're like, oh, well, Kong will never, he'll never bow down to another alpha and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, a bunch of weak ass humans have him in chains on a boat. Like, don't tell me.
He won't bow down to a bunch of alphas, but if you're a really nice beta and say please, he might just follow you.
You know, like I'd actually be more okay with that. Like, if you're telling me that the bunch of humans tranked him and chained him and put him on there against his will, it actually destroys the entire concept of the movie to me. So I actually kind of need to know that he kind of went willingly and like just didn't put up the fight. Because if you tell me that if you in any way pretend that the humans forced him on there, but at the same time he can stand toe-to-toe with Godzilla.
That's kind of implied almost. You know, he's chucking tree spears at the dome for you know, just wrecking shop on this dome. He's like, guys, I got to get out of here. So when they finally were like, open the door, get on this boat, he was, all right, maybe. Like I said, I appreciate the fact that we didn't waste any time dealing with all that mess. You know, like it would have been too slow paced and too just convoluted. Like,
no, yeah, I agree. I don't know. Maybe like a time-lapse montage or something. I don't know.
It's the final countdown. So as a Kong fan going in, this movie hurt a little bit. Like, they in the first King of the Monsters, like, yeah, Godzilla is fighting all these, you know, equal kind of like destructive, crazy, radioactive like monsters. And I kind of forget that Kong's just a monkey. He's just a big monkey. And I saw a meme this week that was just like a picture of a real gorilla sitting on his ass at a zoo with a bunch of kids around. And the caption was just like, all right, guys, I'm going to do my best, but he's kind of a radioactive dinosaur. And like, I felt that so much. Like, they basically described the whole goddamn movie like, all right, man, like, I'm gonna try, like, I'll fight, dude, but like, I don't know what you expect from me, dude. Cored a hole to the center of the earth with his breath. Like, I don't know what you want me to fucking do.
He just beat up a bunch of other radioactive monsters, a three-headed dragon, alien dragon, but I guess I'm the biggest gorilla in the world. Maybe I'll
be all right. You know, it's worth a shot, I guess, to sacrifice my entire species to try to take on this dude. I did kind of feel bad for him. Not to mention they kick it off and he's like fighting in the middle of the ocean. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, imagine fighting a shark with arms. Like, as a human, you know what I mean? Like, hey, buddy, we're going to put you on this pontoon boat, and we're going to have this shark with arms and legs come in and fight you. You're like, what the fuck? Like, no, I can't do that.
It's a movie to shut off your brain and just watch. Like, yeah, you're cheering for a bunch of monsters. You completely distance yourself from the thousands of people that just sank in an aircraft carrier. And like, you know what I mean?
Just depleted like a tenth of our Navy in a heartbeat.
You just ignore the fact that thousands of people are dying per cutscene that they show the monsters fighting.
Thousands, man. When just, they get to Hong watch. Kong, man. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you ain't evacuating all that. Like, I don't give a fuck how many days you give notice. You ain't evacuating all that. But yeah, I do appreciate a movie where you just go in and like just walk into the theater dumb. Just like shut it all off. Like walk in drooling from the mouth and be like, monster movie, go. Like, and just enjoy it, man. Just fucking try to enjoy it. As much as I love, you know, thought-provoking and just dramatic and these deep storylines and crazy mysteries and really kind of thought-provoking movies, I do love just a good King of the Monsters, Pacific Rim, Kong versus Godzilla. Like, yeah, just shut it all down, man, and walk in. Like, I cannot get too stoned for any of these movies.
And you know, I'm assuming that the you know, the producers and directors listen to the show. So I'll speak to them and just say, hey, save the money. Yeah. Don't worry about hiring, you know, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah,
she didn't do anything.
No,
like don't pay her.
Don't
just don't have so many humans.
It would have been just as good with some random TikTok star.
Like, that whole storyline with her was it served zero purpose. Like
it did zero purpose.
Pretty much nothing other than to get to a point that we could hear the villain's monologue at the end. Like that was they were on an entire journey just to bring us his monologue. Like that's it.
And I don't like how they portrayed podcasters either. they really made it seem like we don't care about what we do around here.
I thought the same thing sitting next to my wife, just
watching the every time looks of like, judgment judge on me. You.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're a Godzilla fan, you probably loved it because yes, he is King of the Monsters, you know. But man, I like Kong. I like just a giant ape fucking shit up. I can relate with the ape. I feel the ape, you know, and I don't like how they open the door to this ape society in the center of the earth that we get no information about whatsoever. Like, giant Kong statue, axe made out of a back spear of Godzilla that you put in the floor and reactivate. I don't know what it activated. He put it in, it turned on, and it yep. I don't know what the fuck it did.
Like, unnecessary. It's unnecessary information.
You know, but I still enjoyed it. I didn't give it as high as a rating as I did King of the Monsters. I gave it 3.5 stars, like better than the average bear.
Yeah. Like I said, it's entertaining. It's not a good movie, but it's entertaining. So take it for what it is. Well, let's move on to some other entertainment talk.
Well, we didn't talk about actually how entertaining it was for people who actually went to the theater to see it. I'm actually quite proud of the public on this one. I always said that this movie deserved a theater release. You shouldn't be watching a fucking Godzilla movie on your 32-inch Target TV. You know, like this is something that demands the big screen and the big speakers. And they made a little over $40 million. They broke the pandemic movie release record.
Yeah. Yeah. The big asterisk of the biggest release movie since the pandemic. $48.5 million domestically, $120 million globally. Whatever. I mean, that's not too bad.
Considering what some of these other big movies that released got, I think that's a major accomplishment for this movie. Which I think it shows that people are ready to get back out of the house and go see some of these movies. Like, I get it. There's a large crowd that is all about the streaming. But I don't know how often that crowd went to the theater anyways.
Right. I mean, that was me, right? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's still a big hit compared to, like, what I'm sure, you know, their ultimate goals were. But I mean, it puts the movie in profitable territory on the global numbers, not the domestic numbers, but on the global numbers, it puts them in a decent territory to start, kind of, you know, worth holding off. And then, yeah, it's got to be a good sign if, you know, if you're the director of Dune and you're the director of these other ones that, you know, they were hoping to get 500 plus million in the box office. Yeah, you're probably holding on hope that you might not get that, but you'll get closer.
You know, Christopher Nolan's salty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's still just like, really? This ape just beat me? Like,
I fucking manufactured time. Yeah, well, that's how it goes, man. I went to them both. I did my part.
I did not. But nobody ever counted on me doing my part in the ticket sales department. But let's, now we can move on to some other entertainment talk. And let's quickly go over the Kenobi cast. So, hey, Kenobi's finally going to move forward. You know, after some delays in production, didn't get started. Supposedly some big, like, script rewrites after The Mandalorian, just trying to probably make sure that it's a you know, unique enough and different enough from The Mandalorian and keeping kind of continuity. They did some rewrites, production delays due to COVID. And now this month here in April, they are going to start beginning production, and then they released the cast. And yes, there's some people that you know in the cast, some from from the previous Star Wars movies, right? We all knew about Hayden Christensen coming back. You know, hopefully we'll get one charred face Vader mask off from him, and then and then see what else he's going to contribute. But we also get Joel Egerton and Bonnie Priest, who was the aunt and uncle who took Luke in the previous movie. So we get them. So we know, you know, it's going to still tie into that somehow. And then some other just new people. Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani, he's a comedic actor in the most part, but he did get jacked as hell for that Immortals for the Marvel movie coming out.
Yeah.
The Eternals. I'm hoping this doesn't go the shitty Star Wars comedy route. It stays to the like little kind of slapstick, but not so bad. Like, I hope he doesn't try to, or not him himself, but the writers and the producers, I hope they really don't try to make a big comedic stink out of it. Like,
hopefully it's more like the Bill Burr, you know, when you saw Bill Burr on the cast, you really had to wonder, like,
yeah,
all right, what the hell is happening in Star Wars?
What are they doing? You know, but Rupert Friend, I'm a big fan of. You got another Game of Thrones actor in Indira Varma, like Ice Cube's son O'Shea Jackson's in it. I've enjoyed him in a bunch of films. Like this looks like a really good cast. Like, and if they take the route of the Mandalorian, I'm hyped for this shit.
Yeah, no, I really want to see this story told. So the cast looks good. You expect it to be good. You know, good on you, Kumail Nanjiani, cashing every Disney check you can get.
Yep.
Go get into the Marvel Wars, get into the Star Wars here. Just do what you can. And then the rest of the cast, it's some pretty good notables in there. And at least they're in production this month. Who knows when it's ever going to come and hit Disney Plus. I don't think they have a set release date, and even if they told me, I wouldn't trust them. Let's see where this pans out. But the cast looks good, and I think that you can go on YouTube and probably see all kinds of speculation on who these characters are and whatever else. In the end, I don't care.
Yeah,
I will see it when it comes out.
Yeah, I don't dive deep into those discussions. Like, I don't. Like, all that speculation to me a lot of times just ruins the final product. You know, when you basically just went over the entire show in your head. How are you not disappointed when you possibly wrote a better story in your head than what gets put on the TV? Like, just stop, man. Just let it be. Just let them put it out.
Yep. And then we can talk about some more streaming news. And that's the fact that Knives Out has now been purchased for a large sum, $450 million. For the rights to the next two Knives Out movies.
I don't know what audible noise to make that symbolizes how little of a fuck I give. You could see my face right now, you would be able to tell. But I don't know what audible noise I can make that truly symbolizes the amount of fucks that I do not give.
We'd have to go back in time to where Steve truly hated this movie. And because I watched this movie on a plane, I think it was a movie that was available on a flight.
Really,
that was
the
on.
Only situation where you should and watch that movie.
I did not find it to be a phenomenal movie. It was given a bit more than it deserved, but RJ never stood a chance with you. Like, Rian Johnson will never be given a chance in any film, I'm sure, by you. I found it entertaining. I don't like it, but it was very popular. $450 million sounds like a lot for Netflix to put down for the, like, that's
for
$450 million.
For two movies.
But that's just for the rights, right? That's not even the production cost or anything else. Not that these movies cost a lot of money to make, right? They're very dialogue-driven, focused around Daniel Craig.
With the worst Foghorn Leghorn accent you've ever fucking heard. I said, you fucking dipshit.
Oh, so, man. Yeah, in the end, and I think Daniel Craig's the only one that's coming back. I think this whole
everybody else was the part of the family ensemble with the mystery. Yeah, he's going to be the only kind of returning character. I mean,
so you know, the $450 million for the rights, and like I said, it's a lot of money to just pay for the rights. That's not cast money. That's not production money.
It got nominated for fucking awards and shit. Like, I don't understand. Like, I it's still to this day when I was in the theater and the movie ended and people were like clapping, I just looked around like, what the fuck did you people just watch? Like, I literally, I wish I went to seen the movie with somebody where I could have just been like, what the fuck? You know, but like, I was sitting by myself and people were just like, yeah, all right. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I guess I don't see it. But I mean, people love murder mystery things. Like I said, it's a good concept of a show. At least it had a following. People enjoyed it, the first one. I'm not blaming Netflix for paying for it. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to buy these two movies.
They're just lazily stroking that true crime fucking shaft. Yeah, for,
like, yeah, they're just gonna put it in the suggested little box for everybody who's just been binge watching whatever true crime show Netflix puts out next, and whatever. I'm sure Netflix seems to not have a lot of misses in this regard. So,
yeah. Well, I do declare I probably will not watch them.
I mean, I'll watch them. Just why?
I'm gonna have to watch these motherfuckers. I did a review on the first one. I'm gonna have to do it.
All right, but I think let's move on to a little, I guess, some real quick video game talk in the sense that this is just entertaining. And that's in China, they just did a big sting and busted the world's biggest video game cheating ring, arresting 10 individuals and seizing something like $76 million worth of luxury cars and other goods and stuff like that from this, like, what I'm envisioning is like a little nerd house of a bunch of these 10 guys living together with nothing but Lamborghinis and luxury cars. Like, I saw the video there was nothing but like Lambos in this little garage, and it was apparently the largest, I guess, crime ring in China.
Well, they said how sophisticated it was. They had like this Amazon store, online store set up for buying all these like aim bots and all the things that you need to do to cheat in competitive esports.
And they had like pricing tiers, like, okay, you can get 2-for-1.
Yeah.
2-for-1 on this deal. You could buy a bundle of these cheats over here. And yeah, like they had all kinds of sophisticated.
This is basically like PEDs for nerds. Like that's essentially what they're doing. Like they're so
100% right. Instead of giving the cream and the clear and shooting people in the ass, they're just setting up web stores to sell people the performance enhancing code.
Yeah, they're trying to snatch up all the Lance Armstrongs and Barry Bondses of the esports world. Except for when you buy it on esports, you don't get a giant head and small balls.
I just love that this is like, this is where China's putting their focus on arresting. And
no, like, we don't need to investigate anything in Wuhan, right? Like let's catch these fucking video game cheaters.
I mean, it's more like, oh, we know there's significant like ransomware and hacking going on in these massive operations in our country that we just allow to exist. But you cheat in League of Legends or Call of Duty, we're coming for you.
Yeah, we got a fucking problem. You got an aimbot in Overwatch. Fuck your life, pal. They wanted that $75 million. They wanted the mill and the Lambos. Like forfeiture. Civil forfeitures are a big deal in any government. I don't give a fuck who you are. Free monies is free monies, and the government will take that shit.
I've got the real inside scoop here, and what it is Xi Jinping just got no scope the fuck out of him. So like, and he immediately just
he was dropping in on Fortnite, got snow scoped while he's still in the parachute. He fucking flips a fucking table.
Yep. And that's it. Game over. So either way,
it's a funny story, but I'm all for it. Yeah, fuck these cheaters. Fuck you if you bought any of these bots. Fuck you if you sold them. If you are associated in any way with video game cheating, I hope you get gonorrhea.
All right. I mean, that's fairly kind. That's curable.
It's curable. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, it's curable.
That's a pretty humane threat there. all right. Let's just move on to actual news, some tech news here. And, you know, the first one I wanted to talk about in tech is this unfortunate guy who just lost $600
million.
$600,000 on worth of Bitcoin because he downloaded the wrong app. And this is becoming a problem in the crypto world. These apps getting allowed in both the Google and App Stores. They don't get allowed very long, but they get allowed long enough for people to mistake them for legit crypto wallet apps and everything else. And then you try to link your crypto wallet to it or you make a transfer to it and gone.
And like this guy blames Apple more than he does the thefts. And I don't know. I kind of side with him. They've built up this kind of trust in the App Store that they verify all these apps. Like you hear about an app coming out and it doesn't come out for months because they're doing all this verification and things for that. Not to mention they kind of censor what apps can even be on the App Store, right? Like
right. There's
no Pornhub app and there's a reason behind that because number one downloaded entertainment app for sure. Right. So the fact that that doesn't exist means that they curate this store with a lot of thought and a lot of like, so when you download an app off the App Store, you assume that Apple has done its share of legwork and I can see where Apple's like, look, it's hard to stop this because it's not like they just made this fucked up crypto app. They built an encryption app that it was actually a legit encryption app. And then after they got approval from the App Store, they just recoded the whole fucking app to be this crypto theft app, which is kind of messed up that you can just create an app for one thing, get approval from the App Store, and then just totally revamp it because you have your approval and like Apple never goes back and checks. Like no one does another review. No one ever, you know, like it's, they found a good way to subvert the system. I'm not going to totally put the onus on Apple, but now that this is known, they better be doing something about it.
Yeah. I hope that they, especially when you're talking about like in the financial sector and stuff like that with these things, there are certain like, okay, I got it. If somebody wants to come up with the latest calculator app or whatever weird add-on things like, okay,
yeah, because Apple calculator really ain't good enough for you.
Yeah, maybe that. Okay, got it. That doesn't require such. But if it's in the financial sector, if it's in the privacy settings, the what linked accounts and all these kind of things, like you should probably be vetting these things pretty well. But
I'm also a proponent of personal responsibility. And what motherfucker owns $600,000 in Bitcoin and doesn't know the reputable fucking crypto spots? Like,
I agree. Yes, absolutely. I think
like
before you move $600,000, like you should have, you probably should know the apps you're using.
Like we are crypto apes. Like I am in the remedial section of crypto, and I'm telling you right now, I don't download these weird ass things. Like I know which ones are reputable. I know which ones have a history of good customer service and things like that. Granted, you know, when you buy some of these uber rare coins, you got to go into that seedy alley of crypto to grab them, but you can hurry up and move them out of that alley into a trusted wallet. And there's plenty of trusted wallets to use. Why? Like dude had 17 actual Bitcoins. Like I'm into fractional Bitcoin ownership and I won't do this shit.
Yeah. I still, the whole crypto stuff, which I'm fascinated by and you spend way too much time talking about it. But these are part of the problems that make it difficult for average people. You hear this story and it's like, okay, well that just put off another 1,000 people to next year, maybe, right? Like to where they're just, oh, I still don't believe in this stuff. I'm not going to do it. The difficulties that you have in
this in just stopped these Bitcoin from hitting 60K today.
And you know, it's, and even like, like you said, making these transfers, like this guy had $600,000 that he transferred. I'm transferring much, much smaller numbers between not Bitcoin, but different crypto wallets and stuff like that. And that time lag between it leaving one and being accepted by the other.
Oh man, you're sweating
it's one of the most nerve-wracking feelings, especially like the first transaction that I did. But
even we do test sends first, you know what I mean? So I'll send a Bitcoin, half a Bitcoin, you know what I mean? Like you send a fraction of what you're intending to send, and then when that goes through, then you send the bulk of it. Like you don't just, yeah, I feel for the dude, but at the same time, it's like, really, buddy, like, you know, this is just one of those things where it's hard to feel too sorry for him.
Yeah. What you're not probably getting is this guy's 17 Bitcoin transfer, that was his test send. Like this is some dude. Like, yeah.
Well, then you know what? Fuck him. You know what? Fuck him. Fucking 17 token test send. Jag off.
All right. Let's talk about some, you know, data breaches or whatever. We can move on to another tech topic and Facebook. So the Facebook data hack that was out there, I can't remember when this originally came out. I think it was 2019.
About a while ago.
Yeah. And it's now reemerged that the big, huge 533 million user data packets that were stolen in 2019, they reemerged this last week for free online. So yeah, 533 million people, you are worth nothing anymore. Like you are, your data is just free for anybody. And that's disappointing. I at least want to know.
And I'm not going to lie that in the last few weeks, I've gotten a shit ton more of texts on my personal phone. So like my business phone, I kind of expect it because it's a public number. I have it online all over the place. But on my personal cell phone, I've been getting all kinds of, your Amazon package has been delayed. Click this link to find out your new delivery time. And it's like, man, like I'm not dumb enough to click some short code that looks like
a lot of people are.
A lot of people are. They're getting really good at like making you, because who doesn't have a package coming right now? You know what I mean? Like we're still at hopefully what is the tail end of the pandemic. Everybody's still ordering shit to their house. And most likely if you send out a million your package texts, you're going to hit a few of them, man. There's a lot of people that are going to be like, oh shit. You know, my thing I ordered from Bed Bath. Like I need to have my new strainer. Where is it
I
at?
I can hear your brain trying to figure out something funny to say that somebody was was waiting on.
It went too dirty. It went too dirty, and I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it.
You gave us the generic thing. Yeah, that's disappointing.
It is. It is. But all my shit went to just really not so nice. I'm going to keep them to myself.
Yeah. One of the other things that came out in this was apparently, you know, what now was freely put out there, one of those 533 million users was Zuckerberg himself. So like his personal cell phone number was in this thing just freely on the internet. I'm sure that cell phone number is no longer in use as of today. but everything was released for free. And like I said, it's just interesting that the market that is around these data breaches, and you know, why does this come out? Is it because that data is now 2 years old and it's just worthless? That's not worthless, because that's 533 million. Most of these people aren't changing their passwords. They're not changing their profiles. Their email addresses and phone numbers are still the same. That the fact that data became free, lacking value on the black market, I don't understand it.
No one wants to put that obligatory post on Facebook. New phone, contact me on here. If you don't have my number, text it to me so I can save it. Like, I hate that shit. I do see it as an opportunity for me to never talk to that person again. Like, no, if you don't know my number, I'm not sending it to you. This is where we part ways.
Yeah. I've never responded to somebody who's ever put out that massive call of like, hey, just let me know that if I didn't make your cut on transferring over. that's fine. But let's talk about one company's bad PR and move on to another. And we've got Amazon who has recruited the Twitter army. And this is old news, and I don't know why it's resurfacing now. But this week it got a lot of publicity about Amazon recruiting the Twitter accounts to defend them online. which this started back in 2018. The Project Veritas of Amazon, where they just pay people that are somewhat funny individuals. Like it says that they chose their ambassadors for their great sense of humor to go give blunt remarks in response to any criticism against Jeff Bezos or the company specifically. So this was back in 2018, focusing around their like warehouse work.
Well, I think that comes up now because you have this big union push in a lot of Amazon locations. They're all in the news right now because the workers are starting to fight back. I think that one city is the closest to getting an Amazon union that they've ever gotten so far.
Yeah, and
so it's just a quick reminder. Luck. Yeah, it's just a quick reminder of how shitty that this company is, actually.
Yeah, how shitty this company is, and that's why I say good luck. Like, if you get that unionization, that warehouse is gonna, like, I don't know if that warehouse is here a year from now. Like, yeah. power to you.
To me, in like my head, it's just like Jeff Bezos and the Waltons arm wrestling in a dark room for the biggest piece of shit on the planet. It's the sister Walton too. Like I don't know why, but I just imagine her being the worst of the three. Just Bezos arm wrestling for who could be the shittiest corporate owner in the country.
Yeah, this whole. Yeah, union lawsuits and all the stuff going around now with the peeing in bottles and what was it talking about? I think John Oliver talked about it. Amazon drivers is shitting in bags while driving and stuff like that. It's like, all right, hold on. And I get it. We want to blame Jeff Bezos for people pissing in bottles and shitting in a bag, but truck drivers have been doing this forever. this is what the transportation industry has been doing forever. Like these people probably could have stopped at a gas station. I'm sure that they could have found a way, but that's inconvenient.
Well, I mean, with the trucking industry, we had to put computers in the fucking truck so they didn't drive for 20 hours straight and shit. Yeah. Like I don't understand. Like, I get it. Like, you got to feed your family. You got to support your family. Maybe it's different for me to have the perspective because I grew up in the third largest city in the country. There's plenty of opportunity in this city to make a living if you're willing to work hard and look for it. There are other towns and cities in this country where there's not that much opportunity, and your local Walmart or your local Amazon, supplying a warehouse is the best opportunity you have to support your family. So I do have compassion for a lot of these people's situations, but you ain't getting me to piss in no bottle, man. I'll crack you upside your fucking head. Who the fuck you think I am, man? Like, there's no goddamn way.
Yeah.
Like, I would start an OnlyFans before I piss in a motherfucking before I piss in a goddamn bottle.
And oddly enough, you'd be pissing in a bottle on your OnlyFans. You'd be bottling that up and shipping it out. It's a lot of weird people out there.
I'm just saying, at some point, you can't make excuses for this kind of behavior. You just gotta. Like, I don't know. It's really easy for me to, I guess, say that and not look at everybody's individual situation. But if you find yourself shitting in a bag or pissing in a bottle at work, you really need to evaluate your fucking life choices and do something about it, man. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's like I said, I do think that Amazon, there's a lot to the poor treatment of individuals and stuff like that. So I hope that it continues to improve for those that work there. But yeah, I don't know. The drivers who are shitting in bags and pissing, like, I don't know. I guess I really question those drivers way more. Like, I'd really like to have a conversation with those drivers. Like, really, what really prevents you from stopping? Is it just because you don't want to go you don't want to go to the local gas station, or you just want to get home earlier and you don't want a detour?
I'm assuming it's a lot of GEDs or like limited opportunity. Like, yeah, I'm trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt that you were in a really shitty life situation where you're kind of backed into a corner and this is all you got, so I'm trying to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but I'm pretty sure that there's a large portion of them that just are too lazy to look for another job, or I mean, I'm in the trades. Like there are nobody to hire for the trades. I'm almost 100% positive these motherfuckers could go find a job breaking concrete anywhere, but that's hard fucking work. Like that is backbreaking hard fucking work. And if you are going to an Amazon to piss in a bottle to avoid hard fucking work, I don't fucking feel bad for you. I don't feel bad for you. I hope you drop that bottle on your pants. How you like that?
Wow, you really you took a turn against the employees here.
Well, because I know how hard it is for me
feel like
and my
Jeff Bezos is missing out on an opportunity to hire you on Twitter. Bezos is looking for people with a strong sense of humor and a blunt approach towards his criticism.
That's
here,
me.
Here you go. That's you. Coming at
it's
everybody
me.
Who wants to unionize. And you're just questioning all their life choices.
But for real, though, like, I own my own construction company. I know I have friends that also own construction companies. Like, we all talk. You can't find anybody to hire under the age of 35 for shit. For shit right now. Forbes released an article that in 2024, there will be a national electrician shortage of 60,000. 60,000 shortage. You know what I mean? So there's plenty of room in the trades to go get a job. Join a fucking union that is already established that builds this infrastructure of this country. But that's hard fucking work. I'm not going to lie, man. You're going to get calluses on your hands. Your knees are going to hurt. You're going to look aged after a good decade. But you're going to make close to $100,000 a year. You're going to get health insurance. You're going to be able to support your family. You know, if you are just working at Amazon to avoid having to work like that, go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit. If you are in a small town and that's all you got, then I really do. I feel for you. I really do. But I'm willing to bet it's a coin flip on which one you are.
All right. Well, that took a turn. Let's get this back on. let's move on to some other tech topics here. And this last week, Microsoft announces it gets announced that they've been awarded a 10-year contract to supply AR tech to the U.S. Army for various training purposes. And, you know, we talked very much about, you know, the Microsoft Amazon fight over the cloud computing $10 billion contract over 10 years and all that stuff. And here we are, like Microsoft.
Amazon's taking L's, bro. They're taking L's.
Because this one is worth $21.9 billion over 10 years to give virtual reality goggles to the Army, right?
Yep. Every grunt gets a Google Glass. every grunt gets a nice little sunglasses that, man, I don't even like. I'm sure that there's a bunch of things that they could say, well, we could do this and we could do that. I'm grasping for straws as to like the huge overall benefit that is worth spending tens of billions of dollars to have this.
Because it saves tens of billions of dollars in other training costs. The truth is, this is probably once it's in place, it's a cost saver in a large capacity when you talk about the training. So it's largely a training aid in order to immerse people into a more realistic training environment to test certain skills.
So this isn't for the field?
No, this isn't for like using on like a day-to-day basis necessarily. This is more of a training aid, where normally this would go into the cost of deploying people to a desert place somewhere in this country or another country in order to get to a realistic training scenario using live ammunition and travel costs and all that stuff. And now it's kind of like, well, can we just do that here? Can we just do that where the people are stationed and allow them to immerse them into scenarios and situations so they can train their
So they don't want to go. They don't want to go the VR route, because then you're not actually carrying a 60-pound pack and walking in the heat and everything. It's more kind of like tactical training. But they want to be able to take that VR experience and put it out into the real world, where they're going to carry the pack, deal with the weather, right.
And then you can inject bad guys. You can inject different things into an augmented reality. But then you could do it in a way that's potentially local. You could do it in a way that allows you to leverage and not use live ammunition, not use various tools. So like I said, to some degree, I this could be a cost savings thing. Like, it looks like a huge dollar amount, but we spend a huge dollar amount.
Well, it's only a matter of time before after the military figures it out that it comes to the private sector, and I will look forward to the 2028 version of Duck Hunt. I was like, I will take that AR glass and hunt them ducks down and pop that dog in the face too.
No. We don't want AR to get too sophisticated here before we start treating people with like PTSD from Call of Duty and like being too immersed here. But you know, I think this is an interesting concept. We'll see what it pans out to be. Most of the time, these things fall way short of their desired intent in the military. But it makes sense. It makes sense as far as what they're trying to do. But like I talked about, the sheer dollar amount that these things exist in, and you know, we spent so much time talking about the Trump fight between Bezos and the awarding of the $10 billion cloud computing contract. And then here we go with, you know, when we talk about $10 billion contract over 10 years, that's meaningless in the DOD.
Yeah, it's meaningless. Like, it means nothing.
It's a dime a dozen. There's tons of these billions-dollar contracts. Yeah,
you cannot quantify in your head the amount of money that the DOD spends. Like you hear the number, and it's one of those things that your brain is just kind of lets slide down. Like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know how to rationalize this number. Just accept it. Throw it out the window.
Yeah, but let's move on here. We got a couple last topics here.
Let's go to space.
With space talk. And yeah, we've got first one, the Mars rover has recently dropped off the Ingenuity helicopter ahead of what's going to be the first powered flight on another planet. And this is a really cool concept. You know, this latest Perseverance rover has a bunch of different missions on, you know, you only get to send out one of these rovers every so often. So they loaded this thing up with a couple different missions. One of the side missions that it has was this little mini Mars helicopter solely for the purpose of testing whether it's actually possible to get propelled flight on Mars with the atmosphere and the gravity that it has. Can you actually achieve flight through kind of a standard helicopter platform? So this test, it dropped off the helicopter. Here we're going to see soon on whether this thing can actually survive some flight.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, NASA's doing like these kinds of atmospheric tests and run around, and back to Kong versus Godzilla, they just land in the center of Earth and take off their helmets. Like, everything's going to be all right down there. nobody ran any scans. Nobody.
Why are you going back to the movie?
Because this topic reminded me of it.
Because
we're doing all this Mars exploration to make sure everything's going to be all right on Mars when we send a bunch of poor schmucks to go there and die for the cause.
I know. I had the same exact statement with my wife when they went down there, and I said, like, wasn't the whole point, like, wasn't the whole thing that they said that the monsters buried themselves underground into the center thing because that's where all the radioactivity was in order for them to survive because they fed off of radioactivity?
Yeah. Like,
so why are humans just down there okay now?
I'm gonna walk off this plane with no helmet. Like, what's up? Like, you got eight tumors.
You don't hire Skarsgård to wear a damn helmet.
No, you don't.
A beautiful man.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Fucking Viking. But hey, man, we got helicopters on Mars. I'm all for it. You know, I mean, I'm interested to see like what they can figure out from this. Cause yeah, like, we don't know much about the atmosphere. We don't know much. Like, we know we've done like the chemical gases and da 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 da. It's one thing to kind of see a blueprint of Mars. It's another thing to actually like have to do this shit. So we'll see how they pull all this off and what they get out of it.
Yep. And then the last bit in space news here is, you know, SN11, Starship number 11, test flew last week, and once again Another solid explosion.
At what point does he actually get frustrated, though? At what point do you think he's like, all right, guys, like the first 10 we blew up, I kind of expected. Like, what number, SN whatever, do you think he's just finally like, what the fuck?
Like, 13,
15?
Yeah, I still believe in the background, he's still losing his mind. Right, like he's. I hope he's as cool and calm as he portrays on Twitter, because he tweets as it explodes that like at least the crater was in the right location, is what he tweeted, or something to that effect about his crater being accurate and precise in the location. I get it. He's funny there. At the same point, I hope he's like at home swinging a sledgehammer at his Cybertruck or whatever. Like, that's why he made it, bulletproof and, sledgehammer proof. And so that way he could just whack at his Cybertruck in his garage every time he blows up one of these rockets. Because he's got to be a little frustrated. But in the end, this one, I think, was one that is frustrating them because they don't actually know why. I still haven't seen a good article or a press release from SpaceX. And this happened, 5 days ago at this point, at the time that we're recording this. I still haven't seen any real explanation on what happened. And he even talked about, I don't know what happened to SN12 through 15, but they're rolling out SN15. And he had said that SN15 has hundreds of changes and improvements. And they're hoping they can find out what happened on that last one. And they're hoping that what failed in the last one is one of the hundreds of improvements they made on SN15. And if not, then they'll retrofit it. They'll make adjustments before they fly the next one. But it doesn't sound like they have an idea yet on what happened.
You know, he's all about the money grabs, and he's all in the NFTs and the Dogecoin. Like, I'd pay $100 for a piece of scrap metal from one of these motherfuckers that blew up. You know what I'm saying? Like these are like, how are all these not collector's items? Like, I can own a piece of SN9 that got, that helped the development until, the SN15 that is the one that we're actually going to put people in. Or like, I'll take a chunk of this metal, man. Like, put it online.
All right, well, there you go. What he's more than likely going to do is he's just collecting all this scrap steel and stuff from all these exploded ones. And he's going to build a Tesla fully out of it. And it's going to be like that, the shrapnel Tesla that he will sell for millions.
As long as he's doing something with it, it sounds like, feels like a wasted opportunity.
But that gets us through a week in news here. And something we didn't talk about, meant to talk about at the beginning, was a quick reminder. Everybody needs to go in and vote for whoever from the Nerd Cantina makes it into the Character Madness tournament.
I'm so glad we made it this far. Like, I am disappointed that Ellen Ripley did not make it to the final four, that John Wick took her out. Like,
yeah, I was really hoping
people need to get up off Wick's balls, man. People really need to get up off Wick's balls.
I know. I haven't seen the last one because I just don't really care that. Like, they're good movies. They're entertaining. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's not that much of a badass.
I get it. Like, we've had others, like Jason Bourne's been out there. We got a James Bond. Like, I just think that it's like the tactical precision of John Wick. Everybody thinks that they can go out and do that. Like, I don't know what it is, but I think everybody sees a little bit of themselves in John Wick. And that's like the mass appeal of him or something. But I'm sorry, man. Ellen Ripley deserved to beat out a John Wick, especially in Women's History Month. Like that is the OG female badass in sci-fi, man.
Yeah, so I don't know. They'll release the results, I think, today.
Making
it to final, but one of our two is making it.
So as of right now, we don't know if Dean beat out Vegeta, but we do know that Captain America beat John Wick.
Oh, do we know that? Okay.
Oh, we do know that. Yeah, we do know that. So whoever from the cantina makes it out is fighting Cap. And I think either one of them is going to take it. Yeah, I really think that we are going to take this tournament. If it was up against Wick, it'd be kind of a coin toss. And I would have had to vote Vegeta just to give us the best go for it. But the minute I saw Cap beat Wick, I was like, oh, no, I'm going Dean. I really want Dean to win this whole goddamn thing now.
I'm hoping it's Dean too, just because he was the 11 seed. got no respect from the beginning. I'm hoping he goes and gets all the low-hanging fruit that everybody else picked.
Yeah, and the guys over at Take a Knee, I really want to hear what they say when Dean Winchester just wrecks shop all the way through their tournament.
All right. Well, I encourage everybody to go take a listen, see where they're at. Listen over at Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC. They're pretty active over in our Facebook group, so you can find them there. You can find them at their Facebook pages. But join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community or find us over at Facebook to be up to date on when the voting opens. And yeah, just give us a homer pick. I don't care who you actually like.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've ever seen Supernatural.
Yeah, no. What? Just support the show.
Just support the show so that way we can trash talk for a solid year about how we took over Take a Knee's competition.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to start a pandemic over at their podcast of this shit talking, boy.
All right. And then with all that said, appreciate you listening. Give us a rating review. Take a moment. It's always beneficial for any little creators over here. I promise we're working a little harder than that Kong vs. Godzilla guy. we wear slightly less tinfoil hats.
We put some effort into it. We're not hiding in a van. Although Ken does record the show in his car every once in a while.
Every once in a while, or from my RV, or from wherever I happen to be.
Actually, I'm seeing more and more similarities as we talk. We should probably shut up.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh man.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys.
That's enough. Thanks. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.